Hello, and welcome to Teen Scientist. I'm your host, Abigail Wood, and doing our audio engineering today is James Zipperot. Here on Teen Scientist, I bring you stories of groundbreaking innovation in the STEAM disciplines entirely from a youth perspective. We feature young researchers and respected experts in their field at the local, national, and international levels. Today, I have Arya Gurmukhi. At just 15 years old, Arya has won a Barron Prize, which annually honors 25 outstanding young leaders ages 8 to 18 who have made a significant positive impact on people, their communities, and the environment and revolutionized the bionic leaf technology, creating a more efficient alcohol-based fuel from water, sunlight, and bacteria. Her journey is not just about science, but about perseverance, impact, and the power of curiosity. Arya, welcome to Teen Scientist. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, so let's start with your story. What inspired you to kind of pursue this project?
Yeah, so I think I really got interested in energy storage research and just kind of science as a whole when we had the winter storm in Texas just a couple of years ago. So my family specifically had lost power for around a week, but a dozen of other people across the nation had lost power for multiple weeks. And so after that one event, it kind of started to get me thinking about how unreliable our current energy sources are. And so I started to do some more research and discovered how lithium-ion batteries and supercapacitors, which are our major energy sources, are extremely expensive, but also environmentally toxic. And so I set out to kind of research on developing a novel energy alternative that would solve for these issues and increase the access of energy worldwide.
Oh, wow. How was the power outage for you?
Yeah, so the power outage was pretty bad for me. In Texas, at least, we don't get a lot of snow. So when the winter storm did happen and we got a couple of inches of snow, my family was definitely not prepared for it. And thankfully, we did have another family friend who had a gas-powered vehicle and appliances, so we could go over to their house. But we weren't able to come back to our home for around 2 weeks due to the power outages. And I know several other people had just as hard of a time or even worse of a situation than we did at the time.
Yeah, because when you think of Texas, you don't think snow. I remember when that happened. So before that, were you already interested in clean energy a little bit, or was this the turning point for you?
Yeah, so I think before the winter storm, I was always kind of interested in science and doing my own kind of DIY kitchen projects at my house. But I think I really got into energy and renewable energy research after the winter storm, because it was a problem that had affected me specifically. And then within my rural community in India as well, I saw this impacting a lot of my community members. So I really started to get interested and worked on finding another solution.
What kind of DIYs did you do? I'm so interested in that.
Yeah, so within my house, at least a lot, when I was growing up, I would do a lot of like Lego projects and try to create Lego robotic hands or like mechanisms. And then I think around middle school, I was creating like lemon batteries, just kind of like testing the pH of water and whatnot. So whatever came to my mind, I would try to experiment it and see what the results would be.
Yeah, which is every kind of young scientist when they start going into the science field, they start just asking themselves so many questions, I feel like. And when you were just 15, which is so young, you started improving the bionic leaf. How did you even begin tackling such a complex issue?
Yeah, so the bionic leaf is trying to emulate photosynthesis. So from a very outside perspective, it can look really complicated. But once you get to understand the mechanisms behind it, it is pretty simple. And so I got to become aware of the bionic leaf when I was reading some newspaper articles and found out that this is a new emerging energy source that people were working towards. And so the name itself was very appealing to me. And so I started to research into what exactly the bionic leaf and how it works. And I realized that this could be a great alternative to our current energy crisis, but I found that there were some gaps within making it practical. And so through further research and kind of identifying the gaps within the current bionic leaf and what I could do specifically to improve upon it, I tried focusing on that aspect to make the bionic leaf a more practical solution and application in current society.
What was the biggest challenge you think you faced in the early stages of kind of going into this project?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest challenges I did face was kind of understanding the bionic leaf, its internal mechanisms, and kind of just getting a grasp over how much information there truly was. Within the bionic leaf, there are so many small, intricate mechanisms that are in place and other connections and reactions that are occurring. And so there was so much literature I had to get through, and it seemed really overwhelming at first. But after taking and kind of dissecting it down into smaller factions and trying to divide it up into parts, I was able to kind of understand how it worked and what I would need to do. So I think the biggest challenge and struggle was just kind of understanding how it really worked and what I really needed to do to make it better.
Yeah, from an idea kind of that sparked in a moment of a crisis that you had to actually working in a lab and developing a solution, it's inspiring to me. So let's dive into the science behind your work. For listeners who might not be familiar, can you explain what the bionic leaf technology is and how it works?
Yeah, so the bionic leaf tries to emulate photosynthesis that we see in natural plants right now. And so the way it works is that it takes the sun's solar energy through a photovoltaic cell or a solar panel, and then it provides a current to two catalysts placed on electrodes. And so these electrodes are submerged underwater. And so once the catalysts receive the current from the photovoltaic cell or the solar panel, they perform electrolysis on the water they've been placed in. And through the process of electrolysis, the hydrogen and oxygen molecules in the water split apart. And the oxygen is a byproduct of this reaction, similar to plants when they do photosynthesis. But the hydrogen that is produced is then consumed by a specific bacterium, Ralstonia eutropha, and then it produces an alcohol-based fuel.
How does your novel catalyst improve upon the existing technology?
Right now, most catalyst materials that are existing within the bionic leaf structure are extremely inefficient. So the catalyst material is important for the electrolysis process, so the separation of hydrogen and oxygen. And because these catalysts are inefficient, the amount of hydrogen that's being produced is very little to none. And so specifically, I focused on creating a catalyst material that would have a higher surface area and oxygen vacancies to help facilitate the flow of ions further and kind of increase that electrolysis rate and hence increase the hydrogen produced.
With the fuel that you use and the hydrogen, what makes that different from the traditional biofuels?
Right now, a lot of biofuels have to come from either organic mass or biomass. And I think one of the biggest drawbacks for a lot of communities and societies is that they have to burn agricultural products that they could be consuming for fuel. And so not only does this have another environmental impact, but it also might not be the most sustainable for low-income communities. And so the biofuel that's created specifically through my creation of the bionic leaf kind of solves and alleviates for these problems, because now the fuel is produced in a completely clean and efficient way. So you're not, when you do burn the fuel, there aren't any harmful pollutants that are going out into the air. But low-income communities and communities across the global stage don't necessarily have to use their agricultural products and burn them to produce the fuel.
Oh, wow. So it's just all around so green. Yeah. I feel like those little small changes make such a big difference. So how do you burn it efficiently?
Once the fuel is produced, the bionic leaf fuel is almost like a liquid form. So basically like gasoline and diesel that you would see at the gas pump. And so once you have that liquid fuel produced, you can either put it in your cars, your vehicles, or just basically anywhere else that can have liquid fuel inputted as its energy source.
Comparing it to diesel or gasoline, how efficient is your current prototype?
Compared to other biofuels, the bionic leaf fuel that it is producing is way more efficient than current biofuels. And when comparing it with gasoline and diesel, the efficiency rate is around 75 to 79%. So it isn't extremely efficient or as efficient as gasoline and diesel, but it's definitely a huge improvement and a step towards society using biofuels as the main liquid source rather than gasoline and diesel, which have environmental impacts which are almost immeasurable.
Right. Like it's efficient enough for a biofuel to kind of be at the level where gasoline and diesel are used, because nothing I feel like is ever gonna kind of replace their efficiency. Hopefully it does, going into the environmental steps we need to take as a society is so important, and having someone like you that wants to contribute to that is amazing. Thinking in the future, what would your next steps be for improving its performance?
Yeah, so I definitely think there's a lot of room for improving the performance of the bionic leaf. I think one of the first ways I would want to do this is through changing the catalyst material even further. So right now it is pretty efficient. I've been able to create oxygen vacancies and increase the surface area. But I would also like to add new properties into it that would make it more efficient. But maybe I also in the future want to focus on gene editing the bacteria further. And so right now it is producing an alcohol-based fuel that is pretty efficient, but further overexpressing or underexpressing some certain genes and operons within the bacteria can make it even more efficient and more practical to use on a day-to-day basis.
What properties would you try to incorporate? Have you brainstormed any recently?
Yeah, so for the catalyst material specifically, I would want to make the catalyst material self-healing. So right now, when the bionic leaf is inputted and out, is inputted right now, you need to use distilled or completely pure and clean water for it to function and produce fuel, which isn't necessarily the best option for those in low-income communities, but even us out here in Texas, where a lot of times you don't necessarily have the most access to the clean amount of water. So I'd like to make the catalyst material self-healing. And essentially, what this would mean is that you could use any water source, whether that be seawater or salt water, and you could input that into the bionic leaf, and it wouldn't degrade the efficiency rate, and it would still continue to produce fuel at a sustainable production rate.
What kind of is limiting you to using those already?
I think, like, when it comes to the water or like the catalyst material that I'm using.
Got it. Besides that, are there any other limitations you're currently trying to overcome that's not including your water source?
I think another limitation I am trying to overcome is just the efficiency rate of the prototype. I think right now, again, it is pretty efficient, and compared to biofuels, it does have a much higher efficiency rate, but it's still not as high as gasoline and diesel. So in the future, I'd like to focus on kind of overcoming that limitation and making the bionic leaf even more efficient in the future.
Do you think scalability is an issue? How do you envision making this widely accessible, like
Yeah,
gasoline and
so
diesel are?
the great thing about the bionic leaf is that it's extremely scalable to a large scale. So right now I have created a small prototype, but using the same proportions and ratios, you could scale it up to be 5 to 10 times bigger, and it would produce 5 to 10 times more the amount of fuel. And so I think that's one of the greatest things about the bionic leaf, because it can be scaled up to a large extent. And because we already have the existing infrastructure required for gasoline and diesel pumps, all users simply have to do is produce the fuel from the bionic leaf and input it into existing infrastructure sources like the gasoline pumps we see across our cities. And so when it comes to the widespread usage and scalability, the bionic leaf does a great job of achieving that.
With your prototype right now, how much do you say it makes?
Yeah, so it depends on how big or small you want it. And I think this really is a question of determining how big your needs are. And so if I were to create a prototype that would sustain a specific car or a vehicle, it would have to be a certain size. But that really truly is up to the user and how much fuel they want to produce given a certain amount of needs and requirements.
Got it. That's truly fascinating to see how nature-inspired science can lead to real-world solutions, which I feel like we all kind of need in a time like this with global warming and how that plays into effect. So, how would you say your work is already kind of getting out there? Are you pushing it anyway, or how are you trying to get people to notice it?
So I'm definitely trying to partner up with a lot of nonprofit organizations and just organizations in general across the world, and trying to either increase awareness about climate change issues and energy sources right now. But I'm also trying to work up with organizations to kind of distribute my bionic leaf prototype and working with them for a practical solution that can be implemented in homes, communities, and even societies as a whole.
Yeah, I feel like those are the steps that you need to take, because those were the steps that we took with, say, gasoline, diesel, or any other types of fuels when it was first starting. And
Yeah.
we need to slowly incorporate it for then it to be the normal. So
Yeah.
that is the first half of our segment with Arya Gurumukhi with Teen Scientist. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back soon.
Do you have vinyl albums, 45s, or CDs on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the donation, and you can claim a tax deduction. For more information, or to arrange for a drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 or visit wdiy.org.
Hi, I'm your host, Abigail Wood, back here with Teen Scientists and our guest, Arya Gurumukhi. So, your work is already making a difference. 15 communities in South Sudan are using your technology. Can you tell us about that initiative?
Yeah, so this was actually an initiative that I was able to come up with when I organized or worked with a local profit organization within South Sudan. And I was able to kind of reach in touch with them and kind of try to understand the energy needs right now within South Sudan and kind of understand what exactly the prototype mechanisms and requirements needed to be. And then I was able to collaborate with them and kind of get an effective prototype out and running in their community.
How did you connect with NGOs and local organizations to make this possible?
It was definitely a lot of Google searching. There were definitely, I didn't know organizations on the top of my head that worked with issues like these, but after kind of researching a bit and kind of seeing online what organizations had been successful in kind of reaching these initiatives, I kind of contacted them through email and then was able to get a response. Obviously, all of them didn't respond to me, but for those that did, I was really fortunate and then was able to continue working with them further.
How would you say the responses have been from all these communities and how they feel about it?
I think one of the best parts about giving these prototypes to these communities is that they're able to benefit from them as a whole, but I also get to hear specific mechanisms or changes that they would like to be even more practical. And so I think right now, while the Bionic Leaf is great and they are very grateful and appreciative of it right now, I've also gotten to learn so many experiences and stories from them as a whole. And it kind of gives me another push when it comes to my very own research, because I know it gives me something to look forward to every day, and knowing that the journey isn't really over, but it's just begun, and there's so much else I can do to innovate and explore further for the Bionic Leaf.
Could you share some stories or feedback that you have gotten from these communities?
Yeah, so a lot of these people within these communities, I do contact the organization, so the organization does tell me these stories and these personal anecdotes. But they were able to reach out and say that a lot of people had kind of never seen a contraption like this. So they were kind of skeptical of it at first, because it is a pretty scary looking device when you initially see it. But the organization told me that they were actually really pleasantly surprised with it. And they loved the fact that there wasn't any extra infrastructure required, but all you had to do was really just leave it out in sun. And so a lot of these low-income communities were really able to benefit from this, and they really did enjoy and were able to fully use the Bionic Leaf.
If you could describe how your Bionic Leaf looks.
Yeah, so I'm actually in the works of creating a more leaf-looking prototype, which is kind
of
like
cool.
A commercial product that you could buy. But the specific prototype I gave out kind of looked like a bioreactor. So it was kind of like this glass big tube with all the components inside. So since it was kind of clear, there was kind of, it looked like there was a lot of machinery and mechanisms inside it, but in reality, it's completely safe and non-toxic. So
yeah. How are you going to convert the prototype you have now into a leaf shape? That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is definitely like a commercialization step or the process. So I'd have to get in contact with some company or specifically work on 3D developing and 3D modeling my own prototype, and then eventually sell it out or work with another corporation that could help me put my sketches to real life.
Have you already started those sketches?
Yeah, I have. It's been a lot of trial and error right now. So I'm just trying to figure out what fits the best and what looks the best.
Is it hard kind of figuring out where all the machinery is gonna go?
Yeah, definitely. Because I also have to think of the Bionic Leaf in terms of scalability. So I have to create a prototype that would be functional and would be practical even at an extremely large scale. So kind of just making it the most efficient and compacting it to where it is the most productive and efficient when it comes to the fuel production rate.
Yeah. So instead of patenting your research, you chose to publish it as an open source. What led to that decision?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest goals, even when I started out my research journey, was just that I really truly did want to help people. And so I think one of the best ways I can do this is by giving my Bionic Leaf prototype free rein, and other inventors and other researchers can also further develop upon this rather than me just claiming full support over it. So I think this is one of the greatest things about the scientific research community, is that we're always trying to improve upon new stuff. And I really do think by keeping it an open source, it's going to be able to help even more people. And so I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I kept it an open source.
Yeah, I love that. Was it a difficult choice? I know you talk about making it a leaf to commercialize it for commercial benefits.
Initially, it was, because I was on the edge of making the catalyst material a patent, but after I was able to kind of reach out and like see the impact the Bionic Leaf was having, I kind of realized that that just wasn't the right thing to do. And I realized that by keeping it open source, I'd be able to help a lot more people. And so initially it did feel like I was going to patent it, but then later on I realized that that just wasn't the best thing to do.
And I feel like that's what science really is all about, building off of every researcher and what people find just to create something even better. So what do you hope others will do with your findings?
I really hope that I inspire other young scientists. I definitely had a lot of inspiration when I was growing up and a lot of role models that I could look up to. But I really do hope that a lot of young inventors and young scientists kind of reach out and look at this as an inspiration to maybe start their own research projects or just use this bionic leaf and further improve upon it, which would be great as well. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Do you know if anybody has kind of used your research to kind of do something else or maybe try to further it or anything?
I wouldn't say necessarily my research specifically, but I would say that my involvement in science fair and just other research projects has definitely inspired other people, or whether that be other young inventors, to kind of look into other energy projects or just start their own research journey.
Yeah. Beyond the bionic leaf, I know you do science fair and all of that. Do you have any other scientific ideas or projects you're excited about?
Right now I'm doing a research on a biology project, which is kind of working on bone regeneration. So along with the bionic leaf, I'm also really interested into biological mechanisms within the human body and kind of seeing how we can bioengineer specific components as well.
Oh, wow. What are you doing with that?
With that one specifically, I'm working with the local university and kind of working on 3D printing bones. And so if you were in a trauma accident or a specifically high collision incident where you lost a fragment of your bone, we're working on developing a 3D printer and a 3D printable material that could be printed into that area where the fragment has been lost, and your recovery rate would be a lot faster and you'd be able to have a fully functional limb if it did occur.
Would it be like bone would kind of grow around it then, and then it would be there in place to make it easier?
Yeah. Yeah, so that is the aim right now. We're still working towards a fully functioning prototype and a fully functioning material, but that is what we're hoping to achieve.
That is so cool. How is your progress on that? Where would you say you guys are at?
Yeah, so we're definitely still at the experimentation and research phase. It hasn't fully achieved fruition, or it hasn't completely seen extremely efficient results, but we're working to try to experiment with new things and kind of discovering what works best and what really doesn't with everyone's individual biological mechanisms.
Yeah. So with that and the bionic leaf, if you could solve one more global problem through science, what would you kind of want to go into?
That's a really big question. I think I would really like to tackle our food crisis right now. I think a lot of the issues within society can really be stemmed to our nutritional sources and our current agricultural departments and our agricultural sources. So I think in the future, I'd like to maybe focus on agricultural engineering, or kind of engineering new ways to produce more food more efficiently, but still keep that nutritional value at the same core.
Yeah, I actually work with hydroponics and that side of science. I've done many projects on it myself and seeing different mediums and stuff. So I know a little bit about that. And personally for me, I think hydroponics is definitely a way to go into in the future, just how well you can kind of have the plants be nutritional value and grow so many in such a short amount of space is kind of fascinating for me. And you don't need the soil, which helps with our erosion or droughts that we might have in the USA. So I think that's a really important thing, and that hits home with me because that's what I do.
Yeah.
So sure. Your passion for clean energy and making a difference is truly inspiring. So let's talk about advice that you'll have for other young scientists as a young teen scientist yourself. Many young people have big ideas but don't know where to start. What advice would you give to someone who wants to pursue a scientific project but feels overwhelmed?
I think the biggest advice I would give someone when they're overwhelmed by scientific projects or research as a whole is to just take that first step and that first leap. I remember coming into high school, I would see these complicated research projects and I would think that it's almost impossible to do something nearly as highly or to that rigor level. But I realized that all it really does take is taking that first initiative and that first step. And once you do that, not only are you going to be immersed in a world full of research and science, but you're also going to have supporters and role models who help you along the way. So I really truly think it's taking that first step and taking that leap and entering research. And then after that, it just all kind of lines itself perfectly. And then you start to get interested in kind of researching other areas and you might end up finding your project as well.
Speaking of role models, like you mentioned, how important is mentorship and reaching out to experts?
Yeah, so I think reaching out to experts and mentorship is really crucial. A huge part of my Bionic Leaf research was kind of working with professors and contacting them and seeing what would be the most efficient source and seeing kind of like what the most effective way to kind of phrase and pose the Bionic Leaf would be. So I would definitely say reach out to mentors and reach out to professionals. Don't hesitate to reach out to them because they're obviously and most likely going to want to help you and help progress your research as a whole.
Would you give any advice on how to reach out to people?
For me personally, emailing people in my local universities work the best. So I would say emailing, or if you know someone who has connections with a professor or any other individual within the professional industry, that works as well. It really, you do need to take the first initiative on your end. And then once you try to reach out to these people, you might not get a response most of the time, but hopefully there will be a couple of people that reach out back to you. And it's those people that you're going to be able to create lifelong, meaningful connections with.
Has there been a mentor that you've kind of had or an expert that you've worked with that kind of really sparked something?
Yeah, so I think specifically there's this local university professor I work with, and he has been so supportive of me my entire research journey. He's been with me through all the struggles, the highs and the lows, and he's always been kind of guiding me, not only on my project, but just in general school and life as a whole. And I am really appreciative of that because it kind of makes me feel that someone's out there looking for me. And so I would say that he's been one of the greatest supporters I've had.
Yeah, I feel like having support makes all the difference because you can do something and not having that support or that line of help just, I feel like, ruins it sometimes. So with that, what's one lesson you've learned that you wish you knew when you started?
I guess one lesson I wish I really knew was it's okay to have failures throughout your research project. When I started my research on the Bionic Leaf, I just couldn't get it. I didn't understand the concept. Nothing was working right. And even after I was able to kind of get this idea down, I just had no way to execute it. And I had to go through so many iterations of the Bionic Leaf prototype. So I think telling myself in that beginning that it was okay to fail and that these failures are really truly what will help me create an even more effective prototype is something I really wished I had known at the time, and something I really hope that a lot of inventors and researchers, especially when you're young, know that you're definitely going to have a lot of failures, and that's completely okay and natural. In fact, it's these failures that are probably going to end up making you more successful than you had originally thought so.
Yeah, you went to failing to being featured in People Magazine, Authority Magazine, Encyclopedia Britannica, and more. How has media coverage impacted your work and outreach?
Yeah, so I was really fortunate to get the Gloria Baron Prize, which opened up an opportunity and a whole access to these media opportunities. I would say that now my work has been a lot more widespread and a lot more people not only know about the Bionic Leaf, but also about the potential for research as a young scientist. So I would say it's definitely been an amazing experience. And I think it's also pushed me to kind of showcase and advocate for my project as a whole, but also advocate for young scientists who might be wanting to get into research but are scared to do so. So I think the media coverage has been great in kind of conveying my voice as well, kind of convincing these young scientists to do research.
With the media coverage that you have gotten, how would you say for our listeners to kind of see your journey if they want to follow along with it?
There are a lot of ways to kind of follow my journey. I think if the Gloria Baron Prize and the website is a great way. They're always posting new stuff that a lot of their past alumni and a lot of their past awardees have done. And I think just trying to research on the Bionic Leaf and kind of like looking into current innovations within the energy field is also another way you guys can kind of follow my journey. But yeah, I think those are the biggest ways.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, your science, and your passion. Your work is truly inspiring. Listeners, if you want to follow Aria's journey, you can see the website or look up the Bionic Leaf. We can't wait to see what you accomplish next. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in and watching Teen Scientist. I'm your host, Abigail Wood, and I hope you have a great day.